Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastamavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare God.
So, any more questions about Sita Devi? You good? Sorry?
Next chapter is Lord Ramchandra's plastic.
Oh, okay. Okay, yes. He's just how you say? Ahead of the curve, right? Okay, bottom of 85. Not only must a Brahmin be qualified, but he must also engage in actual Brahminical activities. Simply be qualified is not enough. One must engage in a Brahmana's duties. The duty of a Brahmin is to know the Param Brahma, Krishna. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam, Pavam. 10.12. Because this Brahmana was actually qualified and was also engaged in Brahminical activities. Brahma Karma, 1842. Killing him would be a greatly sinful act. And the Brahma's wife requested that he not be killed. My Lord, you are completely aware of the religious principles. As a son never deserves to be killed by his father, here is a Brahmin who should be protected by the king and never killed. How does he deserve to be killed by a Rajarshi like you? Footnote 19. Srila Prabhupada writes in verse 30, generally a Brahmin, woman, child, old man, or cow is never regarded as punishable.
In what sense? Not corporal, but you mean law?
Yeah, generally, whatever comes in there, then it's seen in the context of their position.
So, like kids, you punish them at home.
But means it doesn't have. They're dealt with in the context of their nature, not in the context of the general societal nature.
So the law is not applicable for them. That's the meaning.
Basically. You know, it's not that there's not rules that govern them, mm-hmm. but they're governed by their own rules. Mm-hmm. Like that. Thus, the wife of Brahman requested the king to refrain from the sinful act. You are well known and worshipped in learned circles. How dare you kill this Brahmin, who is a saintly, sinless person, well versed in Vedic knowledge? Killing him would be like destroying the embryo within the womb or killing a cow. Srila Prabhupada explains. As stated in the Amar Kosh dictionary, Brunor Pake Balagarpe. The word Brunor refers either to the cow or to the living entity in the embryo. According to Vedic culture, destroying the undeveloped embryo of the soul in the womb is as sinful as killing a cow or a Brahmin. In the embryo, the living entity is present in an undeveloped state. The modern scientific theory that life is a combination of chemicals is nonsense. Scientists cannot manufacture living beings, even like those born from eggs. The idea that scientists can develop a chemical situation resembling that of an egg and bring life from it is nonsensical. Their theory that a chemical combination can have life may be accepted, but these rascals cannot create such a combination. This verse refers to Brunasya Vadham, the killing of a Bruna, or destruction of the embryo. Here is a challenge from the Vedic literature. The crude atheistic understanding that the living entity is a combination of matter belongs to the grossest ignorance. Right? So these are standards. So they're pointing out here is that the position of killing a Brahmin, killing the cow, killing the embryo, then all these are considered on the worst level. Of sins, these are the worst. there's technically no what do you call it? There's no prayaschitya for this level. But the other levels there is something, but for this one there isn't anything. So yeah.
Prayaschitya is
sorry?
What's that
prayaschitya means
atonement.
I mean, there's nothing you can do to purify yourself of these.
But there are some ekadasis, which I think there is one ekadasi.
And ekadasi is connected to.
Oh, that's the ocean.
Yes.
Okay. So you meant on the material.
On material platform, no. But the point is we discuss much of the time the material platform. Someone does something wrong, we're discussing it in connection with the material platform. And of the material platform, then our own conditionings concept of that material platform. How often do we discuss justice in the Vaishnav community based on Shastra and based on devotional service? Right? What does Manu say? Because it says here, a Brahmin, women, children, old man, and a cow are never to be regarded as punishable. So they have to be dealt with in the area of their own rules. Right? But do we do that? No, we just use the modern, whatever. So that means it's just sinful from the beginning. We say it's justice, but it's actually, you know, sinful. It's not real dharma. It's not real justice. That's why it's called upadharma, or chala dharma, or vidharma, or it's just not dharma. A dharma. Does that make sense?
Which says,
that's a devotional consideration. Do you find the karmis going around Tulsi Devi? Yeah.
By accident.
Hmm?
Maybe by accident.
Yeah. You know, they couldn't find the turnoff for the thing, so they kept driving around the block that the temple was on. Yeah.
They also should chant Yajnapani.
Yeah, that's also there. But whatever, they'll get better. You know. The point is because of the connection to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? We have to be able to make that means you have to manifest the primary element. You use the secondary, but that's manifesting so we can appreciate. It doesn't mean it's not there. Let's say whether I cook or not, is the principle of cooking still there? Yeah, but when I use the secondary. And I manifest the cooking, then I can appreciate it. But it doesn't mean it's not there. To say it's not there unless I do it, that's Buddhism. You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. That's the modern thing. Unless it's done in this way, or unless, like we were saying, unless you've gone to the modern academy, then you're not actually educated. But that means they're saying that's the only way to manifest knowledge. But the point is knowledge is independent. The question is does our approach actually manifest knowledge? That's the question. Not that this, you understand? So that's why we use what's recommended. So devotional service is that which can do these things. Krishna can neutralize. So because he's in the heart of the great devotees, therefore going around Tulsi, that's why it neutralizes, because Krishna's there. Right? Is that what I'm saying? So it's devotional service. So when we see things from that platform of devotional service, and then if we need to give some context, we add in, you know, what Manu says, then we can get some idea. Because otherwise we may not know what's more and what's less and everything like that. How many people would put killing a Brahmin, killing a cow, and killing an embryo on the same level? And that, the Shastra does. Because the main point is killing a Brahmin. Then there's all kinds of secondary aspects that have the same effect. Like any one of the five main, they all have aspects that are the same as. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Why the embryo is on the level of the Brahmana? Because it can be a Brahmana?
Can be a Brahmana, but the point is then... the brahminical position is for developing God consciousness. Human life is for developing God consciousness. So here you have the potential that you could take up God consciousness. Like that. So it's not good. Like that.
And this point about
Women, children, old men, cow, brahmana never regarded as punishable. Is it because they are dependent? They can't act really on...
No, because brahmins are independent.
What about the others?
No, it's because they have very unique mentalities. Like that. So they're dealt with in their own category.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Yeah. They're means in other words, the laws that are there, then they're there for your basically your general, you know, basically you can say the laws that are mentioned in Manu, those are the laws for grihasthas. Right? But it also deals with and gives specifics for the uniqueness of, you know, those who are, you know, who are children, those who are old, those the women. It gives specifics. But the general rules that are there, that applies to the grihastha men. And then everybody else, then they have their specific, how they fit into that. Does that make sense? Without my husband, I cannot live for a moment. If you want to eat my husband, it would be better to eat me first. For without my husband, I am as good as a dead body. Srila Prabhupada writes, in the Vedic culture, there is a system known as sati, or sahamarana, in which a woman dies with a husband. According to the system, if the husband dies, the wife will voluntarily die by falling in the blazing funeral pyre of her husband. Here, in this verse, the feelings inherent in this culture are expressed by the wife of the brahmana. A woman without a husband is like a dead body. Therefore, according to Vedic culture, a girl must be married. This is the responsibility of her father. A girl may be given in charity, and a husband may have more than one wife, but a girl must be married. This is Vedic culture. A woman is always supposed to be dependent. In her childhood, she is dependent on her father, in youth on her husband, and in old age on her elderly sons. According to Manusamhita, she is never independent. Independence for a woman means miserable life. In this age, so many girls are unmarried and falsely imagining themselves free, but their life is miserable. Here is an instance in which a woman felt that without her husband, she was nothing but a dead body. So the point is, one can do whatever one likes, but there's the element of miserableness. So as long as that's accepted along with it, then it's not a problem. Right? But that's the position, because that's where the natural nature is. Right? As devotees, then one can go beyond that, but it means that you're going beyond it by an increase in Krishna consciousness. It's not that by arranging the material facilities you'll change the miserableness. Right? You know, it's like Prabhupada says, you know, you have a boil on your right knee, you know, then the mystic yogic system, all that's like changing it to the left knee. You know, it doesn't change the situation. So that's the whole point. Krishna consciousness is the only thing that can make things work, right? So therefore, then what is recommended in the scriptures, that's what kind of form you want to use within the material world for engaging in the primary aspect of serving the Lord. So that's what's recommended in the Shastra, is the best arrangement you can make materially. Anything other than that will be steps down from there. So what's saying here, this is not an opinion, this is just the way it is. And if one wants to live other than this, one can, but the point being made why not is because of the miserableness. That's why it's not recommended. So if you're cool with miserableness, then hey, go for it, you know. Like that. How do you say? Alt lifestyle, you know, put on some black, you know, yeah. So naturally the relationship is so strong, that means it's not just she has that, it's because how he deals, then she means he's in a senior position to her by his behavior and everything like that. Then that makes her attached to him, how she deals with him makes him attached to her, the whole thing develops that way. Right? So it's not just looked at, well, what about the men? The point is why she's like this, because the man is doing his duty, otherwise she wouldn't be like this. You know, otherwise she wouldn't have said all this whole thing. She just thought, wow, saves me the trouble. You know, like that. Then she would have, you know, gone off and called her friends and had a sleepover, you know, like that. You know, get out all their movies and, you know, make some popcorn. Hey, you know, like that. It's a good night, you know. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. Being contemned by the curse of Vashishta, King Saudasa devoured the Brahmana, exactly as a tiger eats its prey. Even though the Brahmana's wife spoke so pitiably, Saudasa was unmoved by her lamentation. Srila Prabhupada comments. This is an example of destiny. King Saudasa was condemned by the curse of Vashishta, and therefore, even though he's well qualified, he could not restrain himself from becoming a tiger like Rakshasa, for this was his destiny. Tal labhyate dukhavad anyata sukham. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.18. As one is put into distress by destiny, destiny can also put one in a happy situation. Destiny is extremely strong, but one can change destiny if one comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness. But yes,
this one comes again and again, and we also always
yes come back. But notice the last, if one comes to the yes. platform of Krishna consciousness. So in other words, how is it defined as Krishna consciousness? Pure devotion.
Samadhi.
Yes. So that, but on that that pure devotion. So that pure devotion is the point. It's not just the madhya, it's the pure devotion. Because then one's not worried about, one is absorbed in Krishna. So then you're not affected by the environment you're in. So if Krishna makes it nicer or not nicer, you don't care.
But if you are affected, okay, you know you're not on the platform
yes.
of Krishna consciousness,
yes.
but you have to move on.
Yes, so that the only way to move on is, one, be Krishna conscious, and two, you can't do anything about it anyway since it's destiny.
But
you do your
way.
Duties.
Oh.
Right? In other words,
it's a way not to do anything.
No, but you have to do your duties. But in performance of your duties, whether you're getting the result that you're looking for or not, that you can't define.
And if you are disturbed, you just don't think.
What's your alternative?
And blame somebody, do something.
Yeah, I'm saying you can do that, but then you just complicate it. Because you blame somebody, but they're not blamable, then that breaks down that relation. So then they start giving you trouble, or due to lack of that relationship or association, then you feel pained. And it starts things, because it's always action reaction. You do something, it starts a future reaction.
Also destiny.
No, you've started it. Now that you've started it, now it's destiny. Mm-hmm. Right? It means you take something and throw it out the window, like that. That you've thrown it out the window. Now it's destiny. Mm-hmm. But you didn't have to throw it out the window.
So it's always this free will, you know. That's
yes.
what happens to us and how we react.
Yes. So the point is that's what we can deal with. So now if he had been taken shelter of Krishna, then maybe he could overcome this Rakshasa nature. But he's not. Therefore, it's just going to run according to the modes. So the modes are going to say, this is how you do. You're on the train, you're going to go to the destination that the train's going to. You get off the train, then you're not. So that's the whole point, is that, you know, how you say the proverb of having the cake and eating it also. Right, you can't do both.
But Saudasa, he was so much under the influence, such heavily under the influence of the curse and the modes.
But do you notice him at all praying to the Lord or taking shelter of the Lord or doing anything like that?
That's what I'm saying, that because of this influence...
No, it's just he's not interested. We didn't mention, did it mention anyone? He was a great Saudasa, a great devotee of the Lord, and this and that.
You're talking before, I'm talking after the curse.
The point is that if he was a devotee, it might have a different effect, because then Krishna takes care. Then the effect will be according to what's necessary for the devotee's development, Krishna conscious. But as a materialist, once something goes into effect, then, you know, the whole thing starts rolling. Does that make sense? So that's why we say, oh, but Krishna consciousness, we can change it, so why isn't it changing? But the point is why should it change if you're only interested in Krishna consciousness for the change? Right? You know. So that's the whole point, is that Krishna consciousness for developing pure love for Krishna, not for changing one's material outcome. You can do it for that, and for some time it may run, but at some point, since the living entity's purpose is actually Krishna consciousness, just like, let's say, the teacher is teaching the children, but they're a little restless, so then they may let them play, but it's not that then they just keep playing. At some point, then they come back to their studies. So one takes up Krishna consciousness, one may have a materialistic motive, but at some point, since it is the nature of the living entity to be Krishna conscious, then at some point one has to come to that point of addressing the Krishna consciousness. So that's why then in Krishna karma, you can't say how it's going to work. It's still the principle of destiny, you can't say. But the difference is that Krishna, it'll be how to become more Krishna conscious, while destiny is just justice. Does that make sense? Sri Sukada Goswami continued, when the chaste wife of the Brahmin saw that her husband, who was about to discharge semen, had been eaten by the man-eater, she was overwhelmed with grief and lamentation. Thus she angrily cursed the king. O foolish, sinful person, because you have eaten my husband when I was sexually inclined and desiring to have the seed of a child, I shall also see you die when you attempt to discharge semen in your wife. In other words, whenever you attempt to sexually unite with your wife, you shall die. Thus, the wife of the Brahmana cursed King Saudasa, known as Mitrasaha. Then, being inclined to go with her husband, she set fire to her husband's bones, fell into the fire herself, and went with him to the same destination. After 12 years, when King Saudasa was released from the curse by Vashishta, he wanted to have sexual intercourse with his wife. But the queen reminded him about the curse by the Brahmani, and thus he was checked from sexual intercourse. After being thus instructed, the king gave up the future happiness of sexual intercourse and by destiny remained sonless. Later, with the king's permission, the great sage Vashishta begot a child in the womb of Madayanti. Madayanti bore the child within the womb for 7 years and did not give birth. Therefore, Vashishta struck her abdomen with a stone, and then the child was born. Consequently, excuse me, the child was known as Asmaka, the child born of a stone. From Asmaka, Balika took birth, because Balika was surrounded by women and was therefore saved from the danger of anger of Parasuram. He was known as Nadi Kavacha, one who was protected by women. When Parasuram vanquished all the Kshatriyas, Balika became the progenitor of more Kshatriyas. Therefore, he was known as Mulaka, the root of the Kshatriya dynasty. Verses 41 to 49. Maharaj Katvanga attained the Lord in a moment, right? Because it's the Lord's creation, so it will go on. Kshatriya class is supposed to be there. Just those who were in that position were unqualified, therefore they were removed. But as a class, it has to go on. Therefore, by Krishna's arrangement, then we see then Balika then is protected by the women, and so then he's able to then see that the generation of Kshatriyas continues.
I heard that Parashuram had a rule that if somebody is going to marry, he'll not kill that Kshatriya. So whenever Parashuram comes, he has to marry, and that's how he got more and more wives. I heard in one Bhagavatam.
Oh, he? Him?
He.
Well, oh, okay. Case. That was how... Okay.
I heard some
people. Okay, so... This. Okay. So then surrounded by women, right? So... Depending on how he did, so he did a full tour. That means he ended up with 21 wives. Yeah. Okay.
Right? They reconciled with Vashishta after this whole thing. So it shows his great qualities.
Yeah, I mean, it means they're all properly situated, but just due to the modes of nature, things come up. But if people are acting in their normal position, then what's the problem? See, if someone's acting in an improper state, then you'll deal with them as in that state. But if something just comes up and then that passes, then you don't take it very seriously. Does that make sense? Because then it's a matter of that nature is there, that's what will carry on. Right?
No? Something to work on.
Yes. Yeah. No, it's something for many to work on. So. Yeah, because if one can't work on that, then technically one can't give protection to these five. And then one can't actually understand. Because for these, we're saying, why aren't they covered by the rules? Why aren't they punished? But at the same time as someone else is that, oh, why do we have to? That's archaic rules. Why do we have to follow those? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. So we end up, those who shouldn't be punished get punished. Those that should be punished aren't punished. So then... Yeah, so it ends up strange. Okay, verses 41 to 49. Mars Katvanga attained the Lord in a moment. Shri Sukadeva Goswami continued. From Balika came a son named Dasarath. From Dasarath came a son named Aidavidi. And from Aidavidi came King Vishvasaha. The king of Vishvasaha was the famous Maharaj Katvanga. King Katvanga was unconquerable in any fight. Requested by the demigods to join them in fighting the demons, he won victory. And the demigods, being very pleased, wanted to give him a benediction. The king inquired from them about the duration of his life and was informed that he had only one moment more. Thus he immediately left his palace and went to his own residence, where he engaged his mind fully in the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada comments to verse 42. The example of Maharaj Katvanga in performing devotional service is brilliant. Maharaj Katvanga engaged himself for only a moment in devotional service to the Lord, but he was promoted back to Godhead. Therefore, if one practices devotional service from the beginning of his life, surely he will return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Ashamshaya. From the very beginning of one's life, one should practice bhakti yoga, which increases one's attachment for Krishna. One daily sees the deity in the temple, makes offerings by worshipping the deity, chants the holy name of the personality of Godhead, and preaches about the glorious activities of the Lord as much as possible. He thus becomes attached to Krishna. This attachment is called ashakti. When one's mind is attached to Krishna, maya shakta mana, one can fulfill the mission of life in one's one human birth. If one misses this opportunity, one does not know where he is going, how long he will remain in the cycle of birth and death, and when he will again achieve the human form of life and the chance to return home back to Godhead. Yeah. So that's the idea. One takes it, one has the opportunity, then moving forward with that. Because otherwise, if you don't take it and think later, somehow or another that later never comes. Like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains. Within that moment, he first thought to himself. This is described in five verses. Maharaj Katvanga thought, not even my life is dearer to me than the Brahminical culture and the Brahmins, who are worshipped by my family. What then is to be said of my kingdom, land, wife, children, and opulence? Nothing is dearer to me than the Brahmanas, Srila Prabhupada comments. Maharaj Katvanga, being in favor of the Brahminical culture, wanted to utilize one moment's time by fully surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is worshipped with this prayer, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. A devotee of Krishna is very much attached to Brahminical culture. Indeed, an expert person, an expert personality who knows who Krishna is and what he wants is a real Brahmana. Brahma Janati Brahmana. Krishna is the Parabrahman, and therefore all Krishna-conscious persons or devotees of Krishna are exalted Brahmanas. Katvanga Maharaj regarded devotees of Krishna as the real Brahmanas, right? Because remember, there's nine qualities that qualify one as a Brahmana, and then one uses that in Brahminical activity. So devotees have developed those qualities, and they use that in service to the Lord, so that's Brahminical activity, right? It doesn't matter what the actual occupation that you're engaging is. Right? If you have those qualities but you're not engaging in the Lord's service, then it has to be Brahminical activities that are defined that these are their occupational duties. Does that make sense? Katvanga Maharaj regarded the devotees of Krishna as the real Brahmanas and the real light for human society. One who desires to advance in Krishna consciousness and spiritual understanding must give the utmost importance to Brahminical culture and must understand Krishna, Krishnaya Govindaya, then his life will be successful. Yeah, so then how Krishna, he's attractive, how everything that we're attracted to is him, how everything we're dealing with is him, right? And how he's the one who's, you know, through him everything can be accomplished. We understand this, then we'll move nicely forward. So, Mr. Maharaj Katvanga thought, because then that'll bring one to the transcendental platform. That's successful. Right? Maharaj Katvanga thought, I was never attracted, even in my childhood, by insignificant things or irreligious principles. I did not find anything more substantial than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada comments. Maharaj Katvanga provides a typical example of a Krishna conscious person. A Krishna conscious person does not see anything to be important but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, nor does he accept anything within this material world as being unconnected to the Supreme Lord. That's the Krishnaya aspect, right? As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 8.274, the Mahabhagavata, the advanced devotee, certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. So it's not that that form's not there of what the material object is, but he sees the form of the Lord in it, because he sees Krishna's pervading it, and the active principle of it is Krishna. Right? So that's how they can move in the world, but they're not actually of the world. So that's what we're trying to get to. That's why we have to be able to separate the two. Right? Because then, if one is dealing like that, then the need is not to focus on the material form. It's to focus on Krishna. Therefore, dealing with the form, what form... Dealing with that form, what activities will be the easiest to do? Right? The ones that are according to one's conditioning. Right? One has training and that one just performs those. So there's no need to change that because you're seeing the form of the Lord. And so the interaction with the form itself, the external form, that's being done according to your conditioning. That's why then we just stick to whatever is the nature that we have and not try to falsely change that due to social prestige. Right? Because the modern concept, oh, we're not this body, we can do anything, is based on social prestige. It's not actually based on philosophy. It's that I don't want to be a Shudra. That's all. Yes?
All right, sometimes we see that the personal development, it's good for the personal development if somebody wants to achieve the higher level.
Yes.
But then, on the other hand, might be dangerous as well. So how can we balance those two?
Because there's the point of he should go for something higher, but he has to fit in with everybody else. It's not that everybody else has to adjust for him trying for something higher. Right? He wants to be occupationally a Brahmin, but he can't do it and he just disturbs everybody. That's not his right. Right. So without that guna, he doesn't do that. So he can strive to do what his own occupation better. And then, but most important is to be able to engage his occupation in the Lord's service and to see it in connection with the Lord for the Lord's pleasure. That's the real ultimate point one's trying to get to. So there always is that aspect of trying to improve oneself and going for something higher. But it's not that we look at the social thing as the higher, because the Brahma Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, that's considered social. Right? Ashram, that's considered spiritual. So we're trying to improve the quality of the ashram considerations within our occupation. Right? So I'm improving the quality of how I am God conscious while performing my occupation. Does that make sense? So there's always something higher to go for. But if it's no, just I'll move up the social ladder, that's not necessary. You know, within one's situation, one can move up if that's the nature. But just to move up without having the qualification or performing the activity, then what's the point? You know, just like somebody gets a leading position but then does nothing. Very annoying. You know, so he can feel, oh, you know, he's attained a higher status, oh, he feels better about himself and all this. But in reality, at the expense of everybody else, because now everybody else feels worse. There's a good chance if he doesn't apply himself there, he won't apply himself anywhere else either. Right? Because he'll always be applying himself to the non-application of himself. Right? So he'll always be on email doing nothing. Means he's doing things that do nothing. So he's doing nothing occupationally, and also in his ashram he's doing nothing because instead of being with the family, he has to be on his email being busy doing nothing. You know, he has to show people he's doing nothing. Otherwise, then, you know. Is that okay? Yeah.
Maharaj, like the new president.
A new president. A new president.
The new American president.
The new American president.
Yeah, he was a businessman. And now he become a national leader. So means he's a kshatriya instead of.
Means when the Vaishyas move up, they come up to the point kind of like landlord. Right? And that's kind of like a very small kshatriya. But there is a difference in the mentality. It's about protecting the people. One's about making profit, one's about protecting the people. So you have to see what's the nature there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it seems he wants to protect people.
But the point is if that is the nature, that's what it was before as a businessman. And that was what was available, that's what he did. Does that make sense? So I've seen people who are Brahminical do business like that. You know, everything's very exact, everything's very how it's supposed to be and everything like that. So it's all according to rules and regulations. You know, and they make big profit, but that's not the big deal for them. Their point is that this is the only way I can make money and it's going right according to how the laws should be followed. And they happen to have a lot or a little, that doesn't matter to them. They just apply their intelligence and they get whatever they, you know, sir. So the whole point is that so if it's a kshatriya nature and he's applying it there, then fine. Does that make sense? Because right. Otherwise then you had the others. Well, if you go back a few of them, then I think was Clinton. He was a lawyer. You know, and now most of those, or a lot of those within the political field, if they come from a law background, they actually do better. Because you know how to speak, you know how to deal with the things, balance all the rules, like that. And then they can get into this, you know. But the point is if you're not Krishna conscious, then there's always going to be the weakness is how well are they following their dharma. Right? Because of their own personal things, how long will that stay? Does that make sense?
One doesn't follow Manu, doesn't follow Manu Samhita. How can he have the intelligence to be a leader? Because, I mean, he could eat meat, he could eat beef, and just those things would degrade him from being...
Degrade him, but it doesn't mean... It's just like this. Okay, let's take Genghis Khan, okay? Now... You would basically kind of have to say it was more of a kshatriya nature. You wouldn't say that he had a Brahminical nature. You know, he wasn't.
He was just
stick to the point here first. Because you're equating sinful, then they can't have that nature. But the point is that's the nature that's covered by the sin. You purify that person, then what's going to be the nature? It's going to be that nature in a proper way. Yudhishthira is a kshatriya in a pure state. Duryodhana is a kshatriya in an impure state. So it's going to be the same nature, it's just that as you don't follow the rules, it starts to become unscientific. The point is all human society is divided according to the Varnashram system. It's just people don't understand it, so it's not scientifically applied. Therefore, businessmen are in charge of schools, hospitals, you know, law, all these different things, because that's where you make money. They shouldn't be. You know what I'm saying? The operation shouldn't cost you, you know, $500,000. Maybe $5,000, but not $500,000. That's because businessmen run the thing. right? Because they run the thing, they run all these things, so therefore, then you get that. And then other businessmen, they have the, what do you call it? Insurance. And so therefore, you can only pay for that if you have insurance, and then somebody makes money off the insurance. Because how many people need that operation? So if everybody's worried that if I have an operation or something goes wrong, I'll have to have insurance, therefore all the people have insurance. Right? That means all those people, how many are going to get that operation? So that means they make, so it's all business. You understand? So, therefore, it's still, the doctor is a brahminical position. But it may be polluted by the concept of money and business and everything like that. But you may have those who are businessmen, they go into the field just because it makes money. So for them, it's only about money. Does that make sense? Right? Guy comes in, it's emergency. Like this, it's a very delicate situation. They all immediately go in there and all that. They all start doing something. And then after, 5 minutes of all this, then a lady comes in with a clipboard and goes, says, hey, boys, this guy doesn't have insurance. And so then they all just stop and walk off. You understand? So that's the whole thing, is then you see what's the nature. So that's why is you have what they're doing, but then you have to see, that's the guna, the karma, but you have to see the guna also. Right? And so then this become covered by sin, but it doesn't mean that they still don't fit into these positions. Even you get into the antijas, they still have these positions. Right?
But can dharma be accepted even when a condition is covered, let's say, and one...
That's, otherwise, how do you deal? You deal with the state that they're in at present. That was the discussion earlier. You're dealing with the state that they're in at present. Then, as it goes and you get purified, then you start to see actually what's prominent. Does that make sense? Yes. But the point is that if you perform the duty that you're supposed to, then that will always be elevating within the material context. But if you do it in devotion, then you'll be elevated on the spiritual context. So you're trying to get to that spiritual context. Right? That's the point, because if you only elevate yourself materially, then next life, who knows what you'll be? Then it's all wasted. But if you elevate yourself spiritually, that remains. So that will continue. So what we're trying to get to is to be able to separate these two and understand that the devotional is the main thing. That's the actual important thing. Maharaj Katvanga thought. Did we start that?
Although a devotee, last paragraph.
Oh, okay. Although a devotee is within the material world, he has no connection with it. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe. He accepts this material world in relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee may be engaged in earning money, but he uses that money for propagating the Krishna consciousness movement by constructing large temples and establishing the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Katvanga Maharaj, therefore, was not a materialist. A materialist is always attached to wife, children, home, property, and many other things for sense gratification. But as stated above, Katvanga Maharaj was not attached to such things, nor could he think of anything existing without the purpose of the Supreme Lord. Ishavashyam idam sarvam. Right, so we see here is that the discussion with Katvanga is all about him being a devotee, while with Kalmashapad it never mentioned it. And not at any point in the whole story. So that's why we see that whether it's just standard destiny or karma or Krishna karma, like that. Yeah. Ishavasham idam sarvam, Ishopanishad mantra 1. Everything is related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, this consciousness is not for the ordinary person. But if one takes to the path of devotional service, as described in the Nectar Devotion, he can be trained in this consciousness and attain perfect understanding. Right, so the point is you have the knowledge and skills, but that has to be according to what's actual proper way of applying the knowledge and skills in the greater social context. And then that application is only a value seen in connection with Krishna, how you'll become Krishna conscious doing that. So in other words, Krishna conscious, the first, how to apply that Krishna conscious into that social environment, and how you can fit into that social environment with everybody else, because it's Krishna's social environment. We're Westerners, it's our own social environment. But that's saying that Krishna is not all-pervading. He's not in control of the laws of nature. Right? It's that, you know, the West works under a different modes of nature or something.
I'm just thinking, this is what Krishna likes.
It's not.
No, it means Krishna is there. How is that Krishna West?
Yeah. Yes, true. But, has to be. Otherwise it wouldn't say Krishna in it, right? Yeah, so the point is Krishna's there. So because of that, then we have to fit into that position of Krishna according to Krishna's direction, not according to our own. Right? We do according to our own, then what has that got to do with reality? So on all levels, the knowledge and skills only works because it's the laws of nature and how it works. How that law, that knowledge and skills fits in with all the other branches of knowledge and skills, that's also Krishna. And then the whole purpose of that is to be Krishna conscious, and that's then the highest form of Krishna. Right? So in other words, the first is on the Brahman platform, the second is on the Paramatma, the third is on the Bhagavan platform. So the devotee is able to work with all three of those and be fully conscious. But his focus is on the Bhagavan. That's why anything he sees its connection to Krishna. So it's not that the senses aren't seeing the form, but what's being perceived by him within the heart is Krishna. Does that make sense? So that's why then he can work on it simultaneously. If they take up the mood of a Paramahamsa, then they don't really bother with it, don't interact with it. Right? Even though there's opportunities, he doesn't take that. He just is Krishna conscious. Does that make sense? That's the meaning of that. Is this they just seeing Krishna everywhere, they just deal with that aspect. So only if there's a need to interact, they do. But otherwise, for economic development and all, they don't even bother. Does that make sense? That's a Paramahamsa acting as a Paramahamsa. Paramahamsa can also act as a Madhva and then function within the system, as we see Priyarata, or all the great preachers. Maharaj Katvanga thought, the demigods, the directors of the three worlds, wanted to give me whatever benediction I desired. I did not want their benedictions, however, because I am interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who created everything in this material world. I am more interested in the Supreme Personality of Godhead than in all material benedictions. Srila Prabhupada comments. A devotee is always transcendentally situated. Param drishtva nivartante. Bhagavad Gita 9:59. One who has seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead is no longer interested in material sense enjoyment. Even such an exalted devotee as Dhruva Maharaj went to the forest for the sake of material benefit, but when he actually saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he refused to accept any material benediction. He said, Swamin kritartosmi varam nayache. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila 22:42. My dear Lord, I am fully satisfied with whatever you have given me or not given me. I have nothing to ask from you, for I am fully satisfied to be engaged in your service. This is the mentality of a pure devotee, who does not want anything material or spiritual from the Personality of Godhead. Our Krishna conscious movement is therefore called Krishna Bhavanamrita Sangha, the association of persons who are simply satisfied in thoughts of Krishna. Being absorbed in thoughts of Krishna is neither expensive nor troublesome. Krishna says, Man mana bhava madpakto madhyajimam namaskuru. Bhagavad Gita 18:65. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Offer your obeisances and worship me. Bhagavad Gita 9:34. Anyone can always think of Krishna without difficulties or obstacles. This is called Krishna Bhavanamrita. One who is absorbed in Krishna Bhavanamrita has no material benefits to ask from Krishna. Indeed, such a person prays to the Lord for the benediction of being able to spread his glories all over the world. Mama janmani janmani shware bhavatad bhakti rahaitu kitvai. Antya, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 20:29, Shikshastika 4. A Krishna conscious person does not even want to stop his cycle of birth and death. He simply prays, may I take birth as you like, but my only prayer is that I may be engaged in your service. Because that's the point. If Krishna conscious is there, one doesn't actually care what the situation is. Because the Krishna conscious is the main. We care because the situation is what we define and will make us happy and unhappy. But if happiness is by being engaged in Krishna service and unhappiness is not being engaged, therefore it doesn't matter the situation if we're engaged in Krishna service. That makes sense. So that's what we're trying to get to. That makes sense. Yeah. Good.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanandi.